Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Available at stbernard.org.
Fall in like a gangbuster. Keep yourself from feeling blue, because it'll be your way of showing how you really know what to do.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, with our special guests, the Blue Four Trio and the fabulous Garland Waller.
I would be remembering how many years ago I've forgotten that that's something that I learned in biology, and I don't remember forgetting, or I can't remember.
I would like to nibble your foray.
It's a strange day today, filled with references animal, vegetable, and medical.
I think that's a leech.
I'm sorry?
Is that a leech?
No, that's the doctor.
Ooh, a large contingent from the medical community here, I say.
Get in the groove today.
With Says You.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Some supporters of businessman Herman Cain are finding themselves looking elsewhere today. Cain is no longer a contender for the GOP presidential nomination. He suspended his campaign this weekend. The end came after several women made allegations of sexual misconduct against him, including one about a week ago who said she had had a long-term affair with Cain. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
Cain says the allegations are false, but the former Godfather CEO said they cast a doubt over him and his unconventional campaign.
It has paid and had a tremendous, painful price on my family.
Cain has not said who he will endorse in the GOP field, but one backer, Kathy Wagner, says now that Cain is out, she'll probably support another Georgia contender.
If I had to say this very second that I'm standing here, I would probably say Newt.
That's Newt Gingrich, former House Speaker. Gingrich has been steadily gaining in the polls, and political analysts say he may benefit the most from Cain's departure. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta.
A new poll of Republican voters in Iowa has Newt Gingrich in the lead for the GOP presidential nomination. The Des Moines Register says Gingrich received support from 25% of the voters surveyed. He's followed by Texas Congressman Ron Paul and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Iran is claiming to have shot down an unmanned American aircraft. State media say the drone reconnaissance plane was shot down in eastern Iran after it violated Iranian airspace. Afghan President Hamid Karzai is appealing for financial and military aid ahead of a conference on Afghanistan's future. He's told the German magazine Der Spiegel that his country will need help for another 10 years after international troops withdraw. The conference gets underway in the German city of Bonn tomorrow, but Pakistan is boycotting the talks because of the NATO attack that killed 24 of its soldiers. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has called Pakistan's prime minister to express condolences. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports the call is part of efforts to repair seriously damaged relations.
Pakistanis were enraged by the incident along the Afghanistan border in which NATO troops called an airstrike against a Pakistani position. Each side apparently thought it was under fire by the Taliban. In retaliation, Pakistan has cut off a vital supply line to NATO forces in Afghanistan and ordered the U.S. to vacate a base inside Pakistan that's used for drone flights. Secretary Clinton expressed sympathy for the families of the Pakistani soldiers killed, but she stopped short of an apology. U.S. officials are waiting for the results of an investigation into the bombing. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Islamabad.
The Arab League is waiting to see if Syria will respond by today's deadline to a proposal to end the political violence in the country. The League says it wants Damascus to allow observers to ensure compliance with a ceasefire. This is NPR News. Police in the western German city of Koblenz have ordered tens of thousands of people to temporarily evacuate homes, hospitals, and more as bomb disposal experts try to defuse a nearly 2-ton World War II-era British bomb. NPR's Eric Westervelt has details.
Six-plus decades after the war, construction crews in Germany still regularly discover World War II-era aerial bombs that did not detonate. This weekend's evacuation in Koblenz is one of the largest of its kind. City officials have ordered some 45,000 people to leave their homes for the day after a 1.8-ton British bomb was found in the Rhine River. The bomb is believed to be part of a group the Royal Air Force called Blockbusters, with this one possibly containing nearly 3,000 pounds of explosive material. A 275-pound U.S. bomb was also found nearby. The bombs were discovered recently after the river's water level dropped substantially due to drought. In addition to residential areas, officials are evacuating nursing homes, hospitals, and a prison as a precaution. Bomb experts hope to defuse the old bombs sometime Sunday. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Berlin.
There was chaos last night after a key college football game in Oklahoma. Thousands of fans stormed the field following Oklahoma State's rout of Oklahoma. Emergency medical official Michael Athema says the chaos left 13 people injured, two of them critically.
When they rushed the field, you know, some people fell and they just kept jumping off of the rails onto the field. And unfortunately, you know, some of them got walked over and ran over.
Athema says one person fell at least 15 feet onto concrete. Oklahoma State fans were celebrating because the victory handed them the Big 12 championship and put them in contention to play for the national title. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the good folks at KUOW-FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the stage of Town Hall, Seattle, in Seattle, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with, thank you very much, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He'll never let you down. He'll always help you out. He's a down-and-out kind of guy, Barry Nolan. You'll be glad she came along. She'll be sweet and she'll be short. That's the long and short of Miss Garland Waller. And you never know from the back of his mind what might suddenly burst forth, Mr. Tony Khan. And, who's going to lead tonight?
Captain Khan.
Hoi. Tony.
At your service.
To my left, team two. Words fail to express my admiration of, respect for, and disbelief at the things this guy knows. Arnie Reisman. It would take a special kind of person to find that intellect amusing, yet here she sits amused, Miss Paula Lyons. And I think we're in for some fun tonight, because I think she's up for some fun, Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. Who's going to lead?
Miss Fun. Miss Fox.
Yeah, Captain Fun.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. Now, I know that you know that I think that you think you know the meaning of the following words. Okay, you're so smart, use them in a sentence. Carolyn, epoch, E-P-O-C-H, epoch.
The sentence is, what is the meaning of the word epoch?
Funny you would start off in negative numbers, but that's the way it's looking right now. Epoch.
Epoch. It's like an era. It's a period of time during which something happens.
Yes.
During the Richard Scheer epoch, Says You was known as a very funny show.
Oh, that's worth 10 points. Yeah, absolutely. You know, then, that epoch is a point of time distinguished by particular events or personalities.
Mm. Yes.
Try this one, Tony. Use it correctly in a sentence. Poultice.
Poultice.
P-O-U-L-T-I-C-E. Poultice.
Only a really dirty criminal would stand in need of the poultice. I had a slight accident and required the application of a poultice to my patella.
Absolutely, because?
Because I fell down and got a boo-boo.
Okay, fine. That's enough for me.
A boo-boo.
You can help me out, of course, with the definition.
Well, the application of a kind of medicinal
pack.
Layer applied with a soft cloth,
yeah.
Possibly.
Is there a drawing out element to a poultice?
Yeah, I'm not sure of that because
I think
some
that's
of them
a leech.
Say that. I'm sorry?
Isn't that a leech?
No, that's the doctor.
Yeah. Ooh, a large contingent from the medical community here, I say. Yeah,
a poultice is a mix of some kind, though.
Yes, it
yeah.
is. It's a soft mass of cloth, food, herbs, just about anything you can think of, applied to the body warm. Some say as a healing and an analgesic.
Hmm.
So evidently it removes both pain and the injury itself.
A medical bouquet garni.
Arnie, try this one. Use this correctly in a sentence. Sunder.
Sunder?
S-U-N-D-E-R. Sunder.
Why buy a sunder when you can rent a sunder?
I'm so tempted to hit the bell. You have no idea why you buy a sunder when you can rent
it. Does it mean the same thing?
Something about the Civil War?
Sunder, S-U-N-D-E-R.
And it's looks not, like it's they like, forgot part of the word to me. So.
It means to split apart.
Split apart. So Richard Scherz gave me my paycheck and my heart was rent asunder.
But that's a sunder.
You know
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I like the original one better. But yeah, that's it isn't. Asunder, it's sunder.
It's sunder. Yeah.
Sunder
but,
is the word.
But
it means to break apart,
break
to separate,
apart.
To sunder, and a losing streak can often sunder a team.
Oh, yeah, I hear that on sports channels
all the time.
Mention that on.
Yeah, Sunder Night Football.
Nah.
Yeah, right.
You are up for a little fun, aren't you? That's good. Try this one, Garland. Chimera.
What?
What?
C-H-I-M-E-R-A.
Oh,
chimera.
Chimera.
Oh.
It's half human, half animal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of people I know that...
Let's get the definition.
Well, think... How about let's start with the rear end of a horse? anybody come to mind?
Don't get her started.
Oh, yeah. May I tell a story?
Yes.
I'm sure I can because it's my turn. We were having a conversation because I was reading the newspaper and I looked down and I saw a term for an animal that I'd never heard of called an okapi.
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 Okapi. I said, I've never heard of an okapi. What's an okapi?
An
African
animal.
You know, it's part horse, part zebra, and part...
Yeah, yeah.
Giraffe.
Antelope. What?
Antelope. Antelope.
No, it is. It's
antelope.
An antelope.
Antelope.
It's a form
and I
of antelope.
Said, who's ever heard of a...
Okapi.
Okapi. And he had heard of it. And I said, where did you hear of it? And he said, I'm Captain Kangaroo, Mr. Green Jeans. But anyway, that was my story.
And your sentence is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to get back to the point at hand here, but chimera. You're right that it is.
Oh, you want to use it in a sentence, sweetie?
Oh, no, not really.
My you can do without the points. That's possible. Anyone want to help her?
No, I don't.
Not knowing whether the thing before her was a man or a beast, she thought it must be a chimera.
You know what? Just to put an end to this, I'm going to... A chimera is a fantastic creature, you know, historically, with the head of a lion and the body of a stockbroker. What is the back half of a chimera?
What?
A snake? No, the snake's tail. That's right. It has a snake's tail and...
Right.
It's just a combination. But it's now considered... Now, when they use the word, it means a fantastic flight of fancy. Mm. An illusion or fabrication of the mind. The monsters in a children's closets are but youthful chimera. Mm. Try this one, Paula. Use this one correctly in a sentence. Punctilious. Ooh.
Punctilious. I'm going to get this probably a bit off.
Neat...
Neat. Yeah, punctilious is sort of, very, 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 very neat, very...
Orderly.
Orderly and very focused on the little things, right?
Yes, that's...
Yeah.
So, Laura Scher is so orderly and pays such attention to detail that you would call her housekeeping punctilious.
You know what? Having lived there...
Absolutely.
Once Richard leaves the house, the Scher household becomes punctilious.
No, I have managed in my married life to determine when the house is clean. This is a very important thing for all husbands to understand, is when is the house clean? The house is clean when all traces of the fact that I live there have been removed. You know the sentence I use for punctilious? Manners the butler was a punctilious pitchman for TV table napkins.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Manners the butler.
What, a little too much, you think? A little too much. And finally, Barry, try this one. Use it correctly in a sentence. Shibboleth. S-H-I-B-B-O-L-E-T-H. Shibboleth.
A shibboleth is a false... and stereotypic or iconic belief about some person or thing.
Well, that's more what it's become. It's not the formal meaning of it. That's more what people use it.
But it, originally it was a giant stone monument.
Yeah, well, I have no idea. I have no idea that it was a monument. What were you going to say, Tony? You were starting to drift.
Just that it is a very compelling belief. Something that a large group of people would devote themselves to.
Well, use it. Let's see how you use it in a sentence.
Sometimes I listen to talk radio, and I know those people are full of shibboleth.
That's 10 points if ever I heard it. That's not really it. I don't want to leave the radio audience with that impression. It's not really it. Any help from the other side?
Doesn't it mean some sort of word or phrase that's a giveaway as to someone being a member of a group?
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
Very good,
Karen. Right.
I'm glad I gave the 10 points to them because you got the answer.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The formal meaning of shibboleth is it's a slogan, often a password.
Yeah.
A fraternal shibboleth is needed for admission to the house, that kind of thing. But that's the formal meaning of it. But 10 points for you, Barry. And
anyway.
Thanks, you guys, for playing that round.
Absolutely.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Blue Four Trio. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word foy. F-O-Y. Foy. Gentlemen?
jumping down at Palm Springs. Riding like a buckaroo. Tennis court, swimming pool. Listen to the cowboys sing. Everybody jumping down at Palm Springs. Oh, wow, that snow is falling. Falling on the mountain top. You can hear those coyotes calling. Boy, they never stop. If you want to dance and song, better make some cabbage long. Filthy lucre is a thing. Everybody jumping down to Palm Springs.
Hi, this is Richard. You may have heard that Says You is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, the first weekend in January. And you may be aware of our trip to Riverside and Thousand Oaks, California in February. But until now, you could not have known that Says You will return to San Francisco the weekend of April 20th for live springtime performances of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, that's Charlotte, North Carolina in January, Southern California in February, and now San Francisco in April. The Spring Caravan of Cajolery from Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
Loving vampires, amoral zombies, righteous serial killers, and lots of God. I'm Krista Tippett. Join me next time with USC media and religion watcher Diane Winston on TV as a place where great writers and actors are telling the story of our time, playfully, violently, soulfully. Monsters We Love. That's the next On Being from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Next time on The World, nations gather again to talk about climate change.
We meet here at a time when greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere have never been higher.
To hammer out deals.
You need to reassure each other that you are all committed to finding concrete solutions.
So how are we doing? Climate change all this week on The World.
Weeknights at 9 o'clock. Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Zeitman and Company Realtors, Missy Rodriguez-Brower, Donnie Creighton, Nan Speller, and Shay Howard of Zeitman and Company Realtors, committed to real estate services. More information is available at ZeitmanRealtors.com. The time is 9:22. It's 56 degrees in Nashville.
Says You says thanks to the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, our home away from home in Seattle, and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Wow, that snow is falling, falling on the mountaintop. You can hear the coyotes calling, boy, they never stop. If you want to dance a song, better make some cabin strong. Filthy lucre is.
That is the Blue Four Trio. That is Casey McGill, Matt Weiner, and Mike Daugherty. And thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word foy. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Foy. The male offspring of an okapi. Yeah. To foy.
And a chimera.
And a chimera, yeah. Yes. Is to fog up a car's windshield.
To fog up a car's windshield is to foy it.
That's right.
Okay. Could be that. Or Arnie, something else.
Well, it appears to be a traditional way of saying goodbye to someone or some folks. It's your last drink, a big meal, a little trinket of something that sends you off.
Ah, I see.
Here's your foy, there's the door.
It's a parting gift. You get out. That's it. Just take this boy and leave.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Okay, it could be that. Or foy could mean something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, I've actually always wondered what this was called. I mean, we all know that the bottom of the ear is called the lobe, but the top curvature of the ear, that's the foy.
Above the lobe is the foy. Boy. Evidently, there are a number of members of the medical community out here who...
Well, my father was a surgeon. Where'd you think I picked this
up? Yeah, there you go. Well, foy is either above the lobe and it's, below the scalp. Yeah. It's that top of the ear.
As in the Van Gogh foy. Yeah.
It's either that, a farewell gift of some variety, or to fog up a car's windshield. It is one of those three. That, yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause. That was pretty good... Those are three pretty good definitions, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, I'm wondering why one would go to such an extent as to think of a windshield as something which needs to be fogged up. If it's, I fog up windshields.
I've been accused
of doing
else.
That. I'm a very humid person, and I know that can happen. No one has ever. Besides, I think the proper term for something that's fogged up is fe. It's not foy. It looks fe. I also, when it comes to Paula's jejune attempt to fool us,
I believe
the official term for the top of the ear is top of the ear.
Top of the ear.
I think it's one of those nameless parts of the body, or one of those parts that should go unnamed. So I'm kind of like centering in on goodbye, a goodbye gift, a little foy from your boy toy. What do you think?
I think you're probably right. You get some trinket like a key foy.
I feel like it's a noun. I don't like to fog up.
Either that or it's an adjective in Greek.
But I feel like if it were the top of the ear, I would be remembering how many years ago I'd forgotten that's something that I learned in biology. And I don't remember forgetting, or I can't remember.
I would like to nibble your foy. I can't tell you how discouraged I am. So what do you think? Are you kind of like, would you be comfortable with a goodbye gift? A trinket? Ta-ta trinket.
Yes.
I'm comfortable
okay.
with that.
We're going to go with Arnie's.
Yes.
Number two.
Arnie, that was you. They say that a foy is a farewell gift of some kind. Is that, in fact, what a foy is?
Foy, the past tense of few. No, it's a farewell gift.
That is what it is.
I just like, as a matter of record, I would like to know, when has logic ever given us the right answer? I don't believe it. I think this is the first.
They're getting awfully good at this game, I gotta tell you. Good job, you guys. Let's go on to round three. Another round of history with Benjamin.
With who?
This week... A challenge our resident scorekeeper calls Colonize This. Please answer the following questions concerning European settlement in North America. Carolyn, what was Croatoan? C-R-O-A-T-O-A-N. Croatoan.
Isn't this the word that was written at the Roanoke Colony? Left on a tree or whatever there was after everybody disappeared?
That's exactly right. Very good, Arnold.
Yeah,
very good. Do you know any more about it than that?
Well, everybody was gone.
Yes, that's
suddenly disappeared, including Virginia Dare, the first baby born in the United States.
Boy, he knows a lot more about it than I thought.
And when the next group came in there and was scratching their heads, they found this one word carved into a tree or something?
Yes, they did. And they think it's the location and the tribe of Native Americans, Croatoan, which is, I guess, in the modern-day Outer Banks. I'm not certain of that, but I think that's where it is. And they were going to go find them, but then bad weather forced them back to England, and no one ever found out what happened to that colony. So,
thank you, Tony.
Very good, Arnold.
It's safe to assume they all died.
No, it isn't. Actually, it's safer to assume that they were all assimilated. And because a lot of the theory is that they just were simply assimilated into the tribe, and that's how it went.
I like your story better. They lived happily ever after.
Tony,
yes.
What can you tell me about Rebecca Rolfe?
Rebecca whom?
Rolfe.
Rolfe, R-O-L-F-E. What can you tell me about Rebecca Rolfe?
Very, very little.
Rebecca Rolfe,
was she at all related to the family that gave us Rolfing? approximately 300 years later.
I haven't the faintest idea. Don't think Rebecca. So.
No. Founding mother of massage.
Rebecca Rolfe. Well, clearly with a name like Rebecca, she wore the first scarlet consonant. She rolled her R's just a little bit too long. You know what I mean? Richard, I have no idea.
You know, you absolutely know who this is.
I do know who this is. Was she somebody's mother?
No, actually, she was not someone's mother.
She was abducted.
I'm afraid before we get into some very dicey territory.
Barry,
anyone know
Rebecca Rolfe?
Rebecca Rolfe. I know you know who this is.
Arnie knows.
Rebecca Rolfe.
Arnie knows.
Arnie does know. You're going to give it up?
No. It's Pocahontas.
It is exactly Pocahontas.
I was going to say
changed her name to Rebecca Rolfe when she married John Rolfe.
She married John Rolfe.
She was born with an Indian name, right, and she changed it. Right?
She did. She came back with him to Britain,
right,
where she...
Where she became Rebecca Rolfe.
She became Rebecca Rolfe. She spent a whirlwind year in Great Britain and promptly died of we don't
so
know
much
what.
For whirlwind
no, I think she assimilated.
Well, then she assimilated at the age of 22. So, Arnold, this is gonna test your knowledge, Arnold.
I already got the other two, so I don't care anymore.
That's true. What's wrong with that whole Peter Minuet bought Manhattan for $24 in junk jewelry thing? What's wrong with that?
It didn't happen.
What did?
First of all, it wasn't $24.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah,
there's a couple of reasons for that.
Well, first of all, he paid off a tribe that didn't own the property.
That is exactly right. And I'm going to give you the 10 points for that. That's because that's the bottom line. But what else can you tell me about this?
I always love that part of it. Yeah, sure, we'll sell it to you. What do you want?
They didn't own the land in the first place.
Right.
But what else is wrong with this whole legend?
Well, it was, first of all, wasn't it all in trinkets and beads and...
Wampum, something like that.
It was not, and that's probably the biggest part of this.
It was cigarettes.
Yeah. Feathers. I don't know.
That's really to the heart of the matter. First of all, in 1624, there were no dollars, but let's not go there. Yeah. He was Dutch, and he paid 60 guilders, which they now say is anywhere from $74 to $10,000. It's an interesting dynamic that it would be then. But as to the trinkets that history says that were given, they were not trinkets. We're talking about axes, iron kettles, awls, and a lot of other advanced technology.
Uh-huh.
This was a technology sale, and that's pretty much what they came away with.
But
iPods?
No, iPods. It was iPods. See no reason for booing. I thought that was... All right. Garland, in the late 1600s and early 1700s, the future King James II used lands in Pennsylvania and Maryland to rid England of a problem. What was the problem, and what solution did the colonies provide?
Prisoners.
I'm sorry?
Prisoners. P-R.
No.
Was that?
That's wrong?
It is not. No, not. Well.
Lawyers.
People that he didn't.
Lawyers.
People that King James didn't want around.
And who might that have been?
Quakers.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's it.
10 points.
Richard, did That's you know I was a Quaker?
Yes. But what about Maryland? Pennsylvania was the Quakers. That's true. It's William Penn. What about Maryland? Anyone know? No, that's not it. But good guess.
Yeah.
What about?
Does anyone know about Maryland?
It's not the same. What
it's
do you
not
mean?
The same.
No.
Who was hanging out there then?
Well, that was Lord Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
oh, the Catholics. So
yeah,
the
Catholics.
Catholic.
That's exactly right. It was a succession of Lord Baltimore.
Ah.
But persecuted Catholics and Quakers were given land so that they would go away and stop protesting already. And they were given land so that they would be able to practice their religions freely. And that was Lord Baltimore and, of course, William Penn. Paula, try this one. The short version is that James Oglethorpe founded Georgia and settled it with criminals. But what's the longer version?
He settled it in Australia.
No, he didn't.
A little Why bit of an inhospitable climate, was it? It was tough attracting people to
well,
a
there was
hot,
the inhospitable,
humid state.
The inhospitable climate and prevalence of mosquitoes.
Oh, yes, yellow fever.
Give quite a bit of problems. But I'm thinking something else here.
So they really weren't prisoners?
Well.
Were they indentured servants?
No, actually, they came over. They were prisoners. These were prisoners, but specific kinds of prisoners.
Debtors' prison.
This was
okay.
A great. So you know, I'm going to give you 8 points for that because you struggled to debtors, and that was a good place to get. This was a great social experiment. Mr. Oglethorpe was quite a social reformer. He was a visionary that was horrified by the conditions and circumstances of debtors' prison, that people could go in for owing money and just never be seen again.
Yeah.
And he theorized that urbanization was the great cause of poverty, and Georgia could provide a constructive alternative. But he also got refugees and craftsmen from all over Europe.
Hmm.
They dealt fairly with the Native Americans, abolished slavery, and James Oglethorpe went on to found the Masons.
Really? Wow.
All right, and try this one, Barry. About 1611, the Virginia Company of London ended its monopoly over land ownership in the colony. Why did they do that, do you suppose, and what was its most important consequence?
The most important consequence was it allowed the settlement in 1621 of Plymouth Plantation.
Not really, no.
No.
It has nothing to do with that.
Well, if they eliminated land ownership, then what would the advantage have been? What
no,
would they have
it,
gotten
didn't, if, it didn't eliminate land ownership. It eliminated
the monopoly of land.
Their monopoly.
Their monopoly. So were they able, through that, to raise capital for other exploration or other settlement attempts?
Incidentally, yes, but that doesn't apply to this particular circumstance. Why would they end their own monopoly over land ownership?
Because of the taxes.
No, that's
not. How about encouraging more settlement?
That's exactly right.
No,
it was they found that the tenant sharecroppers on their lands, they believed that they would display more initiative if the land could be owned by them, so they wanted to encourage those kind of people with that kind of initiative. But this really led to something of great consequence. What was it?
Democracy.
A particular use to which this land was put because of that?
No, it's not
did
that
it
so much.
Did it change the nature of the people that looked to come and settle?
It did, but that's not it. I'm going to go to the other side.
Was it a precursor to democracy?
It absolutely was. Very good, Paula. Excellent. I'm going to give you guys 8 points, too, because you did get part of the way there, but once that land could be owned by a number of people, that necessitated boundaries. That necessitated laws, and that necessitated government. The first self-government of the colonies, named the House of Burgesses.
Right.
Arguably, it's the birthplace of American democracy.
Huh.
So that's what that was, and...
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate that. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word dort.
Dort.
D-O-R-P-T. Dorped.
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 Gentlemen?
Dorped. When old summer's in the air, then something happens to me. I just throw away all care. A drowsy spell goes through me. All I do is mope all day. While my thoughts just go astray. Dreaming, dreaming, just dreaming, dreaming. Like to ramble on the road that never ends. Me and Mother Nature are the best of friends. Folks think that I'm lazy, but I'm just dreaming. Just dreaming, dreaming. Always tell the daisies everything I've planned. When they nod their heads, I know they understand. Honest, I ain't lazy. I'm just dreaming. I'm kind of pally with everything that grows. The little posies and every rambling rose. From early morning till day comes to a close, living in a world of my own. Dreaming, dreaming, just dreaming, dreaming. Always looking for my rainbow in the sky. Funny when you're dreaming how the time does fly. Folks think that I'm lazy, but I'm just dreaming.
A quick reminder, Says You takes off coast to coast in 2012 for live performances of the show. First up, Charlotte, North Carolina in January. Then on to Southern California for February dates in Riverside and Thousand Oaks. And this just in, April shows in San Francisco. You can find out when, where, and how to get tickets at SaysYou.net. And while you're there, why not contribute a question? Tell us what you think. All this and more at SaysYou.net. Briefly, SaysYou pauses. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the West was great, but what about now? Debt, fear, the Euro crisis, is the West out of gas? Big-time historian Neil Ferguson gives us his take, plus whatever happened to irony. Not sarcasm, not snark, Jonathan Lear on why we need real irony now. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Make a pledge of support to Nashville Public Radio this week during our Winter E-Pledge. You'll be supporting the programming you value, plus have a chance to win a $2,000 shopping spree to the mall at Green Hills. Pledge now at WPLN.org. The drawing will be held this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. The time is 9:44, 57 degrees in Nashville.
Oh, this gives me a chance to thank our scorekeepers, Mr. Paul Purnell and Mr. Benjamin Schur. Thanks, guys, for giving the score. We've had a few moments with the word dorped. We will go first to Tony Khan.
I'm not exactly sure how this is done, but it's dorp is to hold a lion at bay. I suppose it involves using a sheep in some way. But frankly, that is not included in the definition. So to dorp is to hold a lion at bay.
To hold a lion at bay. You just dorp that critter.
Dorp it. Dorp it.
Okay. That could be it. Or it could be something else. Garland?
I really believe that men and women can do... Women can do all the things that men can do most of the time. But there is one thing that men can do that women cannot do.
Dorp.
And it you can see it with children. When little boys are playing with cars and trucks, they make a sound. Make the sound that boys make. Girls go vroom, vroom. Or... bang. That sound. Hank Williams does it too with the honky tonkin'. You know, there's a thing in his voice that women can't do. Anyway, that's that sound effect with your
what
voice.
What does it say on the card?
I'm telling you, it's a sound effect with your voice.
Sound effect with your voice.
Yes.
Making all the sounds the truck makes, you're dorping. Like okay, that could be it. Or Barry, something else.
Animal feed.
Animal feed.
You may you may recall, you've seen it, you've heard about it on the popular cooking show on Animal Planet. Short order dorp. It's animal feed.
Animal what?
When they're out on the trail.
I get it. It's animal feed.
It's something
right?
to throw to the lions while you're trying to keep them at bay.
That's exactly right. You throw dorp to the lions so you can dorp them. I get that. All right. It is either animal feed, the sound made by little boys playing or a sound effect, and to hold a lion at bay. It is one of those three. Carolyn, what do you think?
Oh, dear. I'm sort of liking the sound effect with your voice. That could be it. You made it. It's adorptable.
It is quite a strange word.
It is totally strange.
Very strange word.
And
dorped.
But it's not onomatopoeic. We can see that exactly.
Nor do they call it an anagram.
But animal feed seems
Department
a little
of Reckless
too
Pyrotechnics.
General to me.
What?
Animal feed seems too general.
It does. And it also
what kind
sounds
of
too much like gorp.
Yeah, gorp. And
so
to hold
it's either
a lion
hold
at bay,
lion at bay.
To dork. Yep. Sound effect with your
okay,
voice.
Okay, then.
You're captain. Go for it.
Should we go then with Garland?
Sure, what the hell?
Sure, we'll go with Garland.
Garland, they have come to the team decision that dorped are the sounds made by little boys playing sound effects you make with your voice. Is that, in fact, what it means?
See, I want to do this, but I can't do it either. Barry can do it, but I can't. Oh, I did it! Make something up.
Oh, good.
Well,
that was a bluff. Okay, audience, what do you think? Well, Barry, I think that's pretty conclusive. The audience thinks it's animal feed. Is that, in fact, what Dorpt is?
Apparently, you must be the animal feed, because it's apparently the lion thing.
Oh, really?
It is not.
Hold the lion at bay.
That was a bluff.
How? Why?
The definition actually reads,
I can't think of a sound more calculated to bring a lion at you.
Yeah. Dorpt? Then dorped. Really?
However, it means to hold as a lion at bay.
That's what it means.
Wow.
10 points
and
for Tony's
on that,
team.
They will win.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's close tonight. Let's revisit a round of cryptic destinations. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the international tourist destination I have in mind. An example from last time, duo leaves out, is pair omits.
The pyramids. Yeah, oh,
oh.
Boy.
It was one of the better ones, actually. All right. International tourist destination, Carolyn, brought to mind by the clue, Smucker's Boston Division, for one.
Smucker's Boston Division.
Boston
so it would
Division.
Be Jam?
Jam.
Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah.
Oh, Jamaica. Yes, Jamaica.
What?
A jam
Jamaica. Like Boston.
Jamaica. Boston.
It is
a
Jamaica.
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 Smucker's Boston Division is a jam maker. Yes, that's right, Jamaica. Tony, international tourist destination brought to mind by the clue Donkey Digs. Donkey Digs.
Donkey Digs.
Burrow. Mule. Burrow. Jackass.
Jackass?
The international tourist destination, Jackass. I just saw the movie yesterday.
It's just north of Mobile.
Donkey digs.
Digs
is like a place. Right. It's like your house.
Yeah.
Jack house.
Oh, the other side has it.
Yeah.
Mule house.
Well. Oh, they're not going to get donkey digs.
Australia.
I don't think so.
That's not it, actually.
A donkey can't live in a trailer?
Australia. Australia.
I had in mind Aspen, but that's okay.
Aspen.
You know.
Oh, I was going for Muhlenberg.
Yeah.
Oh, Aspen.
I really like Australia. I think that's great. Try this one, Arnie. Plea from a desperate cracker craver. International tourist destination brought to mind. Plea from a desperate cracker craver.
It'd be a parrot?
No.
Polly. Desperate cracker craver?
Desperate cracker craver.
Give me a Ritz. I mean, what?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where do
Ritz?
We...
Ritz? Are we going... Know. Oh.
Ah, Ritz. Be a Ritz.
Be a Ritz. No.
Oh, not be a Ritz. Be a Ritz is good, though. I have to give him credit.
What else ends in Ritz? Wait a second. Be a Ritz.
Plea from a desperate cracker craver.
Please.
Give me a Ritz. Give a Ritz.
Please,
yes, the last 17 rows Ritz. Of the audience have it, I think. I'm not sure.
Ritz.
No. Does the other side know?
Ritz.
Audience.
Send more Ritz.
Yes, send more Ritz. I wonder which half of the audience was mumbling there. The ones that got it or the ones that didn't?
Saint Moritz.
A plea from a desperate cracker craver is send more Ritz. Yes, send more Ritz. They're not going to get any better, ladies and gentlemen. It's downhill from here.
Okay, we got more...
Try this one, Garland. Inoperative middle key.
In
Inoperative. Milky. Milky as in musical.
Milky
is C. So the Milky is C. No C. Inoperative middle key.
The dark black
key. So there's
C.
No C.
What was the first word?
Inoperative.
Inoperative middle key. So the C.
Something to.
You got the C. You got the 5 points. Inoperative.
Holy Baltic C.
If it's inoperative, what is it? It is dead.
Dead C.
From the audience. It is the Dead Sea. Yes. And that's 5 points for that.
Okay.
Good job.
Holy C.
All right. These last two are just miserable, but try it.
Oh, the other ones were so right on.
Yes, that's it. Try this one, Paula, the bottom of Jason's boat.
Argo.
Argo. Argo.
Chicago.
Key Largo.
Key Largo is exactly right.
Keel.
Oh,
Keel.
Of course.
Keel. Yay! 10 points.
All right, Barry, nothing riding on this but the whole game. Give it your best shot. Tourist destination brought to mind by the clue, Peaked Picnic Playwright.
Oh.
Inge.
Peaked, William Inge, thank you. William Inge wrote the play Picnic.
Right.
Peaked Picnic Playwright. So Inge, Peaked Inge.
Oh, well.
Peaked, tired Inge. Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Ooh.
Stonehenge.
I think this is
experience. It's not that, but it's. I gotta give him some points for that. That's
Pale,
peaked.
You're looking a little peaked. You're looking a little pale. Yeah. You're a little green.
Well, not green so much as
Wan-inch.
You know what? I'm going to give them the 10 points. I think it's only fair. He's been through a lot. I'm going to give you the 10 points for Stonehenge, because it could be. I had Beijing.
Beijing.
Whoa!
Yes. You're looking rather beige this evening.
You got 10 points for
much as I think you folks could have done a little better with the hissing, I appreciate it. But I'm going to leave this day the way it should have been left because that was a great job by both teams. An 83-83 tie. Okay. Congratulations to both teams.
We even lost the word.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Shirley Bossier and all the folks here at Town Hall. And thanks especially to Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, Katie Mullen, and all the folks at KUOW. I think that reaction says it all. Luke Kerwall mans the meters, and Zach Moore is the AP with the get up and go. So long today from Washington State, where you can't take a fishbowl on a bus, and in some places you can't buy a TV on Saturday. Thank you, Seattle, and we'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
Is it okay to break up with someone over email?
If you're out at a restaurant, is it rude to answer your cell phone or update your Facebook status? On the next Fresh Air, we get answers from Philip Galanis, who writes an etiquette column for the New York Times and has a new book. Both are called Social Cues. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Nashville weather for today, a 30% chance of rain mainly this afternoon and cloudy skies with a high in the mid-60s. Right now, 58 degrees.